You may have heard that most people who are black have O blood type. O is commonly needed for emergencies, but did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? Regardless of blood type, every day our blood saves lives and eases the pain of those living with sickle cell. Donate blood at Red Cross to help us save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Let's say I'm trying to lurk on you. You know, see what you're doing and who you're doing it with. I can stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of weird. You do that?
Not anymore. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages, so no public feeds. And the money is immediately available to use with Apple Pay.
Babe, did you just send me a dollar on Apple Cash?
I just said our cash isn't content. Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, this may be a surprise, but you don't have to live broke now to be rich later.
I love that. Look at you. You always dropping gems in these little sound bites. I love that. You know, and for me, I'm just always looking for ways to save money now. And I don't know who I am. Deadass.
Deadass.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention. We're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
So, story time.
All right. Story time.
Every time we talk about money, every time we talk about money, I talk about Kadeen.
I get excited.
Right. Yes. But see, I was about to say, but today I'm not talking about Kadeen.
You're not talking about me today?
No, I'm not talking about Kadeen.
I was about to say, I get excited when we talk about money. Shit.
You do. You she loves talking about money and spending it too. No,
I've gotten so much better though, guys. But yeah.
Today, I actually want to talk about how I am changing the mentality of our boys when it comes to money, right?
Okay.
Growing up in my household, everyone I ever heard talk about money, they always talked about just save money. Save money, have it in your account. My dad keeps money in his house that he counts every day, right? Then he has his accounts that he looks at every day.
Like McDuck.
Yes, like Scrooge McDuck. The Scoop. Scoop McDuck or Troy McScoop, whatever you want to call him, right? So I grew up the same way.
Yeah.
I grew up the exact same way. I like looking at my money in my accounts. I keep my cash here to make sure that, you know, if Armageddon happens, that my family will be okay, right? But when it came time to Jackson and Cairo and Kaz and Dakota, I didn't want them to have that unhealthy obsession with money, right? The unhealthy obsession with money comes from us thinking that you're never going to get it. It's impossible to hold on to. And when you get it, you have to see it.
Hoard it, yes.
And I've changed that by getting Jackson a checking account, right? I got him it's the first checking account that we have our partnerships that we work with our bank.
Right.
And he has his own bank account. So he's able to buy whatever he wants. Jackson no longer has to ask me and his mom for anything. He works. His working does not come from doing chores. So make up your bed, do dishes. I don't pay you for that.
Right.
What I pay him for is working on skills that could help him make money in the future. So coding, he gets paid for that. Basketball, he gets paid for that. Football, he gets paid for that. If his grades are all above 90, he gets a bonus. Because academically, if you can be on top of those things, you can make money from it. So I don't pay him for cleaning, because those are just grown adult things you have to do.
Right.
But what I've noticed with Jackson, since I started to pay him based on what he does, he's starting to see money. differently.
Absolutely.
He doesn't see money as a scarce thing that he has to hold on to, mm-hmm. which has allowed him to be more forthgiving with his money. Mm-hmm. He buys his brothers things. He buys his friends things. He buys me and you things sometimes. And a lot of times I'm like, bro, like, that's your money. Why don't you hold on
to it? To.
But you know what he says? I could always work for more. Mm-hmm. But what that's done for me has made me realize that he values money differently than we valued money.
For sure.
We valued money and it's like it's impossible to get. So right. when you get
it's
it,
so
hold
hard.
On to it.
Yeah.
For him, it's like, I just have to work harder for it. Mm-hmm. So if I spend money here, mm-hmm. I have to work harder here to get it back. I've also noticed that he budgets, right? His account is at a certain point. If I was that age and I had that type of money at that point, I probably would have spent it because, mm-hmm. you know, you get it, you think you have to hold on to it, but then the Jordans come out, then this.
Right.
Jackson has programmed himself that he doesn't want his account to get below a certain level.
Yeah.
And every year, its rate is risen.
Mm-hmm. So he has like his own personal like goals for his money.
Yes.
Yep. And I've even seen a pair of, I think it was sneakers or some kind of like sneakers that kids are, you know, I sound like an old lady. For risk, I sound like an old lady.
I see one of them sneakers them kids had. It was lighting up at the bottom. We had them back in the day, the LA Gears. I think Jackson was buying some LA Gears. Jackson
Stride,
was not.
Right, joints. but no, and I remember I saw him like kind of working through his head like, damn, that cost that much?
Uh-huh.
He checked his account. He was just like, I don't need them that bad. And he definitely didn't get them.
Uh-huh.
But then the other day, an Amazon package shows up in his name and it's flossers for his teeth, for
yes.
his braces, and a special toothpaste that he found out about on YouTube. And
yes.
he was like, I wanted to try this new toothpaste. So I was like, well, Jax, if you wanted toothpaste and flossers, you could have told me I'd have got it at Target. And he was like, nah, Ma, I want to try it for myself. I have money. I can get it. So I was like, all right, then buy a deodorant too. Buy your drawers.
You should. No,
do all that.
When he turns 13,
mm-hmm.
when he turns 13, I'm going to make it a point that he is responsible to replenish and buy the things that he deems important. The flossers, deodorant. He got his contacts.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that he wanted. Like, he wanted contacts. He didn't want to wear glasses.
Right.
You replenish that.
Mm-hmm.
Just to teach him
yes.
how to balance it.
Yeah.
Not hold it from him and then say, here, your dad gave it to you. So now be grateful. You want to continue to wear contacts? The solution costs X amount of dollars. Order it in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You want a special deodorant because it got a little bit of a scent, so you want to wear a cologne? You buy it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I think in teaching him that, it's teaching him how to balance, how to budget, but also how to enjoy his life in real time.
For sure.
And not wait until later on. So.
Good job, Dad. That yeah. was a good tactic.
Now.
All right.
In honor of our guest and also Kay's favorite discussion. Y'all see what color she got on, right?
I need dollars is what I need.
That wasn't the song.
That was my song.
What was that? I remember why that was your song.
I worked at Mac. When I worked at Mac Cosmetics, y'all, there was the playlist that played like every month or every week, and it would be the same songs in rotation, and I'd be in those stores for 9-10 hours a day, and that was one in particular. Whenever a song used to come on, everybody knew that was my song because we had a goal of money that we had to make each day.
Every day.
So once that song came on, I was like, all right, y'all, I'm hyped now. I got to go make this money. So yeah,
so
that was my little 2 cents for karaoke today.
Did they ever play this song?
Which one?
It's
pretty good. It's pretty accurate.
Money. Did they ever play that in Mac?
They didn't.
Oh, they was tripping. You'd have made way more money.
I'd have made mad money.
If you'd have played that.
I'd have made mad money for Frank and Frank. Listen, shit. All right, y'all. Well, we got to make some money here for this podcast.
Facts.
Because if not, there would be no us. So let's go pay some bills, get into these ads, y'all, and we'll be back with a special guest.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us. And it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact. And the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, y'all, losing two loved ones in a matter of 6 months, it can be a lot. And a lot of times, when you're dealing with grief, you have a lot to get off your chest with your family.
That's absolutely right. You know, people carry around all different types of stresses, big and small. When you keep them bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
And therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to kind of figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down.
If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first visit. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/deadass.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Let's say I'm trying to lurk on you. You know, see what you're doing and who you're doing it with. I can stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of weird. You do that?
Not anymore. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages, so no public feeds. And the money is immediately available to use with Apple Pay.
Babe, did you just send me a dollar on Apple Cash?
I just said our cash isn't content. Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
All right, y'all. So, you know, we don't be doing the whole guest thing very often because Dadal and I are just, you know, we're not about that life. We know y'all like to hear from us. However, there's a particular guest that every season we have to have her on.
Yes.
And I think she's the only guest that we have every season for that reason, just about.
Yeah.
Because we absolutely adore her. We love her spirit. She is a fountain, a wealth of knowledge, literally a wealth of knowledge.
Facts.
And I love to have her because she really puts things in perspective because finances never gets old, right? Money talk never gets old.
Right.
So our favorite financial expert, Tiffany Alice, the budgetista as we know her, is back to share her knowledge with us some more and has a brand new book that's out today. Mm-hmm. Made Whole, The Practical Guide to Reaching Your Financial Goals, is the ultimate hands-on workbook for anyone looking to get their finances in order. And that should be you and you and yes, you who's listening now, all right? So today, Tiffany is here to tell us all about what's in it and why you have to have this book in your life.
Tiffany, what up?
Hey, y'all. I missed y'all.
We missed you too, yo.
You've been kind of touring, you know, getting all the money, sharing all the knowledge with the world. How you been?
She's been quietly touring.
I have been. Honestly, I have been to like 4 or 5 different countries in the last few months. I mean, I just took my bonus daughter. We came back from Europe for her 16th birthday. I took her to London, amazing, to Paris, and to the Amalfi Coast.
Baby.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yes. Before that, I was in Egypt. Before that, Kenya. So I just, you know, I haven't really posted to social. I've just been like luxuriating in my quiet luxury.
I love that for you. Sometimes you just got to be present in that moment. Yeah. I completely understand it. And I appreciate that. And I love that for you, sis, for sure.
Thank you.
So talk to us about this book. Just so you know, Ever since we've had our first conversation, season one, Kadeen has been on top of her budget. She opens up her account. She sees what's in there every day, every other day. She's very tedious when it comes to spending. Like, she's on top of it. And I want to thank you personally.
No, you really
I've been telling
did help.
Her for years. And now she comes to me like, you know, babe, Tiffany said that. I said, Tiffany said what? Tiffany told you that you should be doing what I've been telling you to do?
You're like my financial fairy godmother, Oprah. You know, like, he'd be like, you know, oh, Oprah said, so now you want to do it. Or Dr. Phil said, so now I'd be like, well, listen, Tiffany said that what we should do with the money is.
See what I got
to
go through?
No, but sometimes that's how, sometimes you need to hear from a different person. And honestly, that's why I wrote, so y'all know I wrote Get Good With Money. A couple years ago, it was New York Times bestseller, almost 300,000.
Yes, it was.
Amen.
Yes. Don't skip over that. Don't skip over that. Say it again. New York Times bestseller.
You know? Well, we're in good company.
Everybody around here is a New York Times bestseller. You know,
okay.
We wrote a book. We wrote a little book.
Something. Thank you, sis. Thank you.
But I decided that I wanted to write a companion book to Get Good With Money because Get Good With Money is quite like a textbook, you know? And I was like, you know, what if I could write a workbook for people who really want to get to work right away?
Right. Know?
And so that's why I made a whole. Okay, she went here behind me. And so
I love that. How'd you come up with the title?
Because the components of this book is going to help you reach what I call financial wholeness. You know, so financial wholeness is like these 10 steps that if you achieve these 10 steps, you don't have to make $1 million. You don't have to be rich, but you will be okay with your money. Because it really bothered me that I felt like the financial space was leading into everyone's teaching everyone how to make $1 million, which that's great, but let's be real, everyone's not going to reach that. You know?
Right.
What if you're a preschool teacher? What if you're a mechanic or a nurse and you don't get that huge lump sum of money? So does that mean you don't get a chance to have a good life? You can't buy a car? You can't get a house? And I say, no, I don't believe that to be true. And so I wrote Made Whole to help just regular everyday people make the most out of their money. And by reaching these 10 financial steps that I outlined here, so they can be okay as well. They can reach financial wholeness.
So let me ask a question, right? I don't want you to go through all 10 steps because we don't have time, right? But what would you say of the 10 steps are the most important three that could just help people? Like, just the most, the top three, if you do these three, you could be on the path.
Or it can segue you. Yeah. Because we also ultimately want you guys to go out and get the book, because I know I'm going to get the book too.
Facts.
For sure.
Because we have Get Good With Money.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We definitely support, and not only support, we learn.
Yeah. I love about you, what you said about this book, Tiffany, is that regardless of what financial level you're on, regardless of what your financial health looks like in this moment, you will find it useful.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So I would say first things first, foundationally, you have to have a budget. They don't call me the budgetista for nothing. So you know, it's the foundation for all the things that you're doing. You know, you can't save if you don't have a budget. You can't get out of debt if you don't have a budget. Your credit's probably not going to be the greatest if you don't have some sort of budget, which is just a money plan telling your money what to do. So that's one. The second one I'll say is learning to earn, because you're not going to budget your way to financial security. You have to learn how to make money when needed, you know, like not just from your regular job, but in Made Whole, I teach you how to make money, how to make more money at your regular job. And if you need excess money, I teach you how to make money outside of your regular job. So that I would be number two for me. It's like,
meaning like a hustle, like a side hustle?
If that's what you want, a side hustle, a business, you know, like we have to make additional income. Like when I used to teach preschool, I love teaching, but there were times I needed more money. So I learned that I could tutor. I learned that I could babysit. Mm-hmm. So learning how to make more money is critical in your financial wholeness journey. And then last but not least, I would say it will be, I'm vacillating between your net worth and maybe it would be financial professionals. Because I think especially for Black and brown communities, we hesitate to ask for help when it comes to our money. So I have a whole section of the book about how to identify the financial professionals you need on your money team. You know, like who can help you?
That's interesting. That's interesting. It's interesting you mentioned that too, because I think about when you say that in the Black and brown communities, we are apprehensive sometimes to ask for help when it comes to the money. And I even think of our parents' generation, because we're at the space in our life where we're almost becoming like parents to our parents.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, knowing that my mom and dad, for example, are retired or on a fixed income, and they like to see their money in their account. And they don't want to take any chances. They don't want to take any risks. And Deval and I were trying to explain to them, like, they just sold a property recently that they had in New York. You have this lump sum of money. It's like, how can you now use this money to work for you, which may require a little bit of gambling, you know, or taking a risk.
A little bit, taking a risk.
But that generation specifically does not like to take that risk. So how do you encourage that, you know, for anyone
that's
who's
a good
just
question.
Like,
no, that's a,
how
that's
are
a
you
going
to take a risk to potentially get this money to grow?
So that's actually perfect. So one of my friends, his grandmother lives around the corner from me. Shout out to you, Miss Diane. And so she recently sold a property that she actually got from her grandmother for a dollar. So many years ago, Miss Diane is like in her late 70s. And so she sold it for a significant amount of money. I'm not going to say because Miss Diane's going to be like, I don't see it. She sold it for a significant.
But she got a cute coin.
Yes, a cute coin. And Miss Diane is more scared than ever. Child, what it took to get Miss Diane. So he came to me. He was like, she will not listen to me. She has all this money sitting in a checking account. Just looking at it. To your point, Kadeen, like, just looking. She want to see it, see her, see it, see her. You know?
Every day. Log on just to see it.
Yes. Yeah. And so I told him, I said, well, one, you her grandbaby. She's not going to listen to you. Because she's like, I know the baby ain't, even though he's grown 40. She's like, didn't I wipe it behind? No.
Right.
I said, first things first, you have to bring in outside help. And so what I told him is that let's get a certified financial planner, which is a type of, it's the gold standard of a financial advisor, which I help lay out.
Oh, before you continue, please tell the difference, because people have been asking ever since season one, what's the difference between a certified financial planner and a CPA?
So a CPA is a certified public accountant. So that's your accountant. Your taxes.
Yes.
So there are financial advisors. Anyone could basically call themselves an advisor for the most part. But a CFP, a certified financial planner, is the gold standard. They have to take a certain level of testing. They have to have been in business for a certain amount of time. They have to keep up their knowledge base, and they have to be what they call a fiduciary, meaning a fiduciary has to legally put your interest first before anything else.
First, right.
So if you're looking for a type of financial advisor, there are many types. You want to look for a CFP, a certified financial planner. Because that is the top tier, because everybody can't make it. It's like the difference between like, oh, I play, you know, rec ball on the weekends and you in the NBA. So.
Right.
See, I know little sports things, you know.
Don't be fooled. It's like, don't be fooled, y'all. Don't be fooled. We need to see the certs.
So you want a CFP, a certified financial planner. And I teach in the book, like, how do you identify, how do you interview, how do you pick the right one? And so what I did with Miss Diane is, and her grandson, as I said, Miss Diane, like, you are going to want someone, because she wanted it to be me, but I'm not a CFP. I'm a financial educator, meaning that I just teach financial knowledge. I don't tell you what to do with your money, specifically what to do with your money. So I told her, what we can do is, I showed her that this is how you interview. I'm going to line up my top three financial planners that I like personally. Mine, this woman named Amy, and this other woman named Helen. And I said, and for the first one, I will co-interview. I know Amy, but I will co-interview her with you.
So she can
see. So you can see what questions to ask and like what. And so I did that. And she was really just like, okay. And so they did the next two on their own, and they ended up choosing Amy. And so now Amy is the referee between what her grandson wants, because he's young, he's 40. So he's like, yo, let's put it in the market. Let's invest. You know, and then what she wants, which is, I don't want to lose not 1 cent. I want to ride this thing out until I'm no longer here. Mm-hmm. And so Amy helps to add that extra sense of comfort for Miss Diane. I just saw her the other day, like last week. And I said, let me walk over and check on her. I said, how's it going with Amy? She's like, I like her. Amy's a little older. Sorry, Amy, you know. I'm just saying, you are a little older. Amy's a little older. She's a little older, so she liked the fact that it's someone, they're not close in age, but old enough where she felt like that this is someone who can understand like why she might be a little more hesitant. So slowly they have been like chipping her toward like, well, let's put some of this money into a high yield savings account. Let's open up, like, put some of this money, like, let's look at what it might look like to purchase another property that could be a property to live in and potentially a property for investment.
Right.
So with Amy's expertise, she's building trust and slowly inching Miss Diane to a place. I have to always remind her grandson, D, I'm like, yo, Miss Diane, she's 77 years old. Like, she don't walk fast. She don't run fast. She's not going to move fast. you know, with her money, you know, the movement that she's making is aligned. Before, she wasn't moving at all. So that's what I say, that if you have older parents, like my dad, you know, is in his 80s and my mom is in her 70s. He got himself a hot girl, you know, young hot girl. They too, I mean, my dad, you know, was an accountant, and but still it was hard for him, for me to move the needle when it came to making certain financial choices. Like his will was like, he made his will when I was like 10 years old. And I'm like, Daddy, you need to update it. And he would say later.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, not to be shady, bro, but you 80.
Not to be shady, but you 80. Yes.
When it's later.
We're here. You actually a little past the expiration date, because the average person lives to 78, and God willing, you're going to be here.
Well, I'm about to say.
Well, God willing, you're going to be here to 100. But we're here now. And so, but it took me
just in case
to bring in my, I had a, this is another component of the book, right? The financial professionals. I brought in my attorney to have the conversation, to say like, what are you afraid of? He didn't really want to go through all the work. So she did a template of a will where they could just make little changes versus having to build from scratch. So that's what I say, like having the initial conversation with your person, your parent, your grandparent, bringing in a financial expert to help buffer, and then slowly working toward like, what's, this is the desired outcome. And you can have your side conversation with the expert. Like, here's our desired outcome. This is what I'd like to see. And the expert works with you and your grandparent or parent to get there. But having that conversation is critical. The sooner, because it's going to take a while, the sooner you start those conversations, the better.
This is what I've realized, Tiffany. And that's, I'm glad we're having this conversation, because we've been talking to your parents who are now retired. My mom is looking to retire. My dad just retired this year. Yes. And the hardest thing explaining to anybody, not just people in their generation, but to anybody, is that money is a tool. Yes. That's all it is. People like to collect money and, like you said, stare at it.
It's a security blanket.
But if you're staring at it in a checking account, ultimately over the years is going to diminish. Yeah. One, mainly because of interest. Mm-hmm. Like once interest grows up, that money diminishes, even if you don't spend it. Mm-hmm. But you also have to live. Yes. So you pay your mortgage every month, you pay your car. No, it's going to keep going away. If you don't utilize that money as a tool, you'll never have financial security. Can you talk about the best ways to turn your money into a tool?
So to start, if you're really, really, really nervous, at the very least, open up a high yield savings account.
Come on. Right? Come
at
on,
the very
talk
least.
To them.
You know, because the people get talk scared. I'm like, the good thing about a high yield savings account is, if you're like, I'm totally risk adverse, is that up to $250,000 per bank, you know, you are protected if it's an FDIC insured. If this is a federally backed bank, meaning that up to $250,000, if the bank goes under, the government will give you back your $250,000.
You still get your money back.
So it's like, you can't lose.
There you go.
Right? And so right now, like as of the taping of this podcast, right now I'm seeing like 4.5% like return.
4%,
And so inflation, per year. Inflation is when money is devalued or things cost more over time, meaning your money is worth less year after year. And right now, the inflation in the United States is that money is going down in value at about 3.something%. So, you know, if you put your money in a high yield, you're making 4.5%, but your money is losing 3-something%. So at least, at least dollar for dollar, you stay in about even, you know? So if you don't do anything else, and you have a lump sum of money, take it out of checking and put it into a high yield savings account. You don't,
but that's important that you said, though, it has to be high yield for you to even be close to breaking even. Because if you keep it in a checking account, just based on inflation, you're going to lose money every year.
And because, so think about high yield is this. Typically, the big banks that you see outside on the corner, you know, like those big old banks that we all know, they don't offer, most of them don't offer high yield savings. So the interest they're paying you is 0.00000001%. I mean,
that's
not only that, it's real gangster. Because they take your money, you put that little $100 you got in there, they take your $100 and they pimp it out and loan it and make money off of it. And then say they get fat off that money and then say, here's a penny for your troubles.
One penny.
But at least with a high yield.
I definitely saw like 84 cents in my savings one time. I was like, 84 cents?
So you don't want to keep your savings. I never keep my savings at one of those brick and mortar banks. Is that I keep my checking there for convenience. Because if you go, especially if y'all, like y'all, you travel. So I like to keep my checking there. So no matter where I am in the country, I can get to my money. And my savings, typically most high yield savings accounts you'll find with online only banks. Because they don't have the same overhead. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have like the location they have to worry about. So
I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it actually makes sense, because it's not brick and mortar. Yes. They don't have any expenses. Yeah, that makes more sense.
So they're able to pass, you know, at least you get 4 or 5 pennies versus the 1 penny. So that's one. So that's one. If you're going to do anything. Two, if you're still nervous, I want you to look at your job. And if you have, you know, you're not self-employed or whatever, and see, are you, is your money being put into some sort of 401k, you know, whatever retirement account is available. Like, you might say, oh, I don't do a retirement account because I don't know where to put my money. You don't have to. I can almost guarantee most 401ks or 403bs or whatever the retirement account has something called a target date fund, a TDF, target date fund. And that is when you say, this is the year I think I want to retire, closest to 65, whatever, you're going to find TDF and the year that's closest, like TDF 2065, TDF 2070, whatever that year is. And you can say, I want my money put into that fund. And the fund will choose the investments for you based upon risk. So the further you are from retirement, the more you'll be invested in stocks. The closer you are, the more you'll be invested in bonds and things that are a little bit safer.
In bonds and
so
stuff,
you ain't got to worry about it. Oh, yeah. You just put your money in your target date fund. And every year that you get closer to retirement, the investments get more and more conservative until you're ready. And then you can pull your money out. So that's the second thing. Make sure you're putting money in your retirement account.
So let me ask you a question, because this is what I've been talking to her mom and my mom about, right? When you do have a 401k, now you get that lump sum 401k. Can you explain why it's not smart to just take that lump sum 401k, putting in a checking account and say, this is going to be my money till I die? Can you please explain? Because I try to explain to them that money's a tool. You need to use it to make more money. Like you said, buy another property, start a business. But a lot of people say, I got my 401k. This is what I'm supposed to use until I die. So if I have $250K in my 401K, hopefully I only live a certain amount so I can pay my mortgage. Like, I'm trying to explain to them that's the wrong way to view it.
Yeah.
Can you explain to them why that's so bad?
The ideal is that money that you put up is a seed. So I want you to think about like the difference between like an apple seed and an apple, right? So that seed that you initially planted 10 years ago in the backyard, like, that is the initial investment to your retirement account. You're putting seeds, you're putting seeds, you're putting seeds. The seeds grow from trees over time. Your retirement is growing. The trees grow branches. Your retirement is growing. The branches eventually yield apples. And ideally in retirement, you're going to want to eat the apples, because what essentially, Deval, that you're saying that your parents are doing, they're going back and digging up the seeds and eating the seeds they originally put in. And so you will kill the tree.
Yes.
So ideally,
kill the tree and be starving.
Exactly. What you want to do is that you, of course, who is mowing the lawn? Can you hear that in the background? I bet you that's my landscaper. I'm like, not Lewis.
I don't hear it, but Wednesdays too. It normally happens over here. We start later for that reason.
And so ideally what you want to do is leave them seeds alone. And you want to eat the apples only, and meaning that you want to live off the investment, what it's yielding. So I live by, and so many people, they call it the 4% rule. This is what I live by, meaning that you put up enough money and you never take more than 4% out. Because on average, if you have your money invested into the market, it's going to yield.
It's 4%.
It's going to yield, no more 4%. Than that. It's going to yield like 10% on average. So the last 100 years, the market has yielded on average annually 10%, meaning some years 30, some years negative 20, but it all evens out to about 10%.
Oh, evens out.
It's about 10%.
Okay.
So if you only live off 4, it keeps you real safe to one, never touch the original seed and to allow it to keep growing, because you got about 6% to play with just in case it gets a little crazy. You see? And so for me, when I'm no longer here, those seeds that I planted will continue to grow apples for whoever comes after me. And I can still live well. Just eat my 4%, eat my 4%. And that's actually safer than digging up the tree. It's like the goose that laid the golden egg. Just keep getting the eggs. Someone done cut the goose open and start, you know, because now that goose will no longer, you know, in that story, the farmer was like, well, why should I wait for this goose to lay a golden egg every week? I could just cut it open and scoop out all the gold now. And he found that there was nothing in the goose but just a regular goose. So now you cut the thing that was generating you money.
Damn.
So
if you spend the source, then it will not continue generating you money. So that's what you share with your parents, which is like, this is the source. This source can generate you money indefinitely, even when you're not even here. But if we eat these seeds now, no more apples will grow. So let's leave the seeds alone and only eat from the apples.
I like that.
That's a really good way
to do it, because they all want to take it out. They want to take it out the 401k and hold it And I got it now. But you're right, though, because that's killing the goose.
Yes, killing the goose.
Why kill a goose if the goose is going to continuously give you golden eggs?
Go to the farm. Just get your eggs every morning. Get your 4%. Like, ooh, child.
Get your eggs.
Like, I could just get my 4%. I'll get my 4%, you know, every single year. That way, know that, like, it doesn't matter how long I live because I know I'll never outlive that money.
Right. Mm-hmm. You've got to live within the 4%.
Yeah, live within that 4%.
And the good thing is, if you make more money, you just keep putting more money back into the goose.
Yes.
Right.
So now you're making more money. You keep watering. Keep watering that plant so it can...
It keeps growing. That's why it's 4%. Because if you lived at the full 10, then basically you bring yourself back to... Like, let's just say you have $100,000 in your retirement account. And every year, the $100,000 grows to $110,000 because that's 10%. So certainly you could say, well, I'm just going to take the 10%. So I'm back at 100,000. Right. Every year, take the 10%. You could do that and just keep that 100,000. But what I'm saying is it grows to 100,000 grows to 110,000. I'm saying only spend 4,000. So that 100,000 is 106 now. Now it grows interest on 106.
106,
yes. So it's like, and then next year it's not 10,000. Maybe it's 112. And so you still take your 4%. Yeah. Now all of a sudden, you see, like, that extra interest you're leaving.
Every year, you get more money.
More money.
It gives you a chance to leave a legacy. That's one of the chapters in the book, the last chapter, about leaving a legacy. Mm. Like, how do we leave a legacy for those that come after us? Like, when I'm not here, you know, like, my nieces and nephew, you know, I'm leaving them plenty. But it doesn't mean I live less of a life. But, you know, off camera, you know, or I just shared with y'all, I just bought a condo cash, $500,000. I paid for it and I'm renovating it, another 100,000. Mm-hmm. I paid for it. So it's not that like, I'm leaving all this money left over for my nieces and nephew and my sisters if I'm not here anymore and then I don't live well now. No, I'm living well now. Like, I'm getting all
living
the things,
well now,
yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I'm still living within my means, you know, in a way that I can enjoy life while still leaving a legacy. That is possible. That is why I wrote Made Whole. Not to teach you how to be wealthy, but how do you maximize the money that you have access to already?
Going back to the first thing that you mentioned, which was the budget. Mm-hmm. Now, that was something that in the very first season, DeVal always would joke about me. I'd say budgets are made to be broken because that was my mindset.
Yes.
So how do you speak to someone who may be, again, like your nurse, your doctor, your lawyer, your, you know, school teacher, anyone who is... maybe has the unhealthy relationship
they lack
with
discipline.
The word
say
budget.
It. They lack discipline. She don't want to say it, but they lack discipline.
Budget just sounds like, it sounds like a restraint. It sounds like boundaries. How do you encourage someone to develop a healthy relationship with budget? Because I know how it has worked for me and how I've seen the benefits of it over the course of the past couple of years. But how can you speak to someone who said, you know, this is the first place you're going to start? When you get this book, Made Whole, budgeting is the first thing. How do they create a healthy relationship with budgeting?
Well, you can change the name. I like to call my budget my Say Yes plan. Like, the budget is there for me to say yes to me. It's there to say yes to me in the way that will keep me safe and maintain my current lifestyle. So I like to think of my budget like, right, you are Black mama. Your budget is your Black mama, right? Like, I'm sure your kids are like, Mom, can I have dessert? Yes, after you have dinner. Can I play outside? Yes, after you do your chores. Can I, you know, jump in the pool? Yes, if after you put on sunscreen. The budget is you, Kadeen. It is there to say yes because you care about your boys, you know, but it's there to say yes in a way that keeps them safe. And so that is the budget. Mm. The parameters are not there to hold you back. It's but to provide the safest environment forward for you to have a yes. So that's how I like to think of a budget. And you don't have to like...
So thinking of the yes.
Yes. And you don't also...
the moments when you can say yes.
But I mean, and if it doesn't say yes now, right? Then it's like, well, what can I do to get to a yes? That's what your budget is there for. It's there so you can see your money down on paper. So you're like, oh, you know what? Actually, I don't really... Eating out is all right, but I'd much rather go on vacation. I can get a yes in vacation if I reduce this thing that I don't even care about. You know?
See, this is why I really appreciate what you do. Because... it's always a mentality, right?
True.
When people hear budget, the first thing people think is, oh, this budget is going to tell me no. As opposed to this budget is going to allow me to be able to say yes when I really want to do something. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Yes.
Budgets aren't a list of no's. Yeah.
You hit the nail Kadeen on the head. That's
used
how
to look
I used
at
to
it like a list of lows, a list of no's.
Restrictions. Like, don't hold my Sagittarian ass hostage.
Right.
Because then that's when I become the Sagittarius and I want to just do everything I'm not supposed to do.
But Tiff, you got to listen to her now. Her sister is and her brother-in-law getting married, right? So we had things we were planning to do. And this is the first thing Kadeen said to them. Can you guys, are you guys going to be able to do that because you're planning a wedding? I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You did you just check them on doing something because they have something to do in the future?
I was the martyr for our brothers and sisters.
The mentality changed though, Tiff. And if you think about it, that's the way you should think about life. Everything isn't a no. It's not a dream denied. It's a dream deferred.
Yes.
I can do it now, and then I will have to do a whole bunch of shit I don't want to do later.
Later, yes.
Or I can decide, you know what? I'll alter my plans now to do whatever I want to do later on.
Amen to that.
That's what a budget
is. And honestly, if you use automation, you don't have to, because I think people also think they have to be with a notebook, writing down every penny. Like, everybody got time for that, right? So instead, what I like to do is I tell people, do the split it before you get it, right? Which is you figure out how much money you need in there's four accounts, two checking, two savings, one account for bills, one account for spending. These are your checking accounts. One account for long-term savings or emergency savings, and one account for goal savings. These are your high-yield savings accounts. So you go to your HR department and say, I need you to put my money in these four accounts for me. So you don't even have to budget. So
you don't even
money goes into your bills account, money goes into your spending account, money goes into your two savings accounts, and you have you only have your debit card attached to that one checking account for spending. So that way you can spend as much as you want for groceries, for hair, nails, lashes, whatever. But it's only going to be attached to that account because, you know, bills is paid, automated, savings is saved, the other savings is saved. This is one of the ways that you get over the hump of having to be so responsible is that, like, I never worry if I'm overspending. How can I? I can only spend what's attached to my debit card. And so I split it before I get it. And if you do that, that will help you maintain a budget and not feel so bad about it.
Tiff, let me tell you, that is literally, literally what we do.
Yes.
Kadeen and I pay ourselves, but we pay ourselves like our cash fund, our slush fund, after everything else is taken care of. We have trust building, wealth building,
children.
Mortgages, children, 401ks. And then at the end, after all of that stuff is paid, Kadeen and I have our money. Kadeen gets her money in her account and she's just like, I can do whatever I want to do with this because... everything else is, and then now she's planning her whole life based on this. And what she's realized is like, dang, I didn't even need that much to plan what I wanted to do. So at the end of every month, I'm like, how much money you got in your account?
That's
She's like, babe.
I'd be like, look at, and even he was surprised one day. He was like, you know, how much you got in your account? Are you good? And I'm like, yeah, I have X amount of dollars. And he was like, haven't been doing any spending.
Shocked
I'm
the
like,
hell out of me.
No.
Right? Like, wow. So isn't that awesome? There's a freedom in that. Yes. Right? Because you thought to yourself, oh, if I do that, I'm in financial jail. But now you realize, wait, the organization actually grants me freedom, not jail, because now you know I can spend in a way that doesn't harm anything else that I'm doing. I can do whatever I want with this money. You know, so that just feels really good. Yeah,
that's
I love that.
That actually is like the best feeling. When I look at my slush account and I could be like, damn, I could just spend all this today.
Yep.
And I don't got to worry about nothing.
Yep.
It feels good. I don't feel like it feels freedom.
Yes, just
but
to have that.
I heard something. I think it was Venus Williams. Venus Williams said structure for her and discipline is freedom. She said structure and discipline is freedom because since she's learned to be so structured and disciplined from when she was young, when she's ready to do what she wants to do, she's always able to do it.
Yeah.
She's like, I've been so structured and I've created such a strong foundation. I think Serena in that same interview was just like, there's like, what's your big splurge? And she's like, well, my big splurge, I like to buy houses.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. She's too rich for my
brother. Oh, my God. Right
I'm like, God dang. Like, right some people be like a bracelet. She said, no, she likes to buy properties.
I love that.
But imagine you've been so structured that one day you just like, you know what? There goes a house is worth $1 million.
Yep.
I'll buy it.
So it's just
that's freedom.
It's changing the viewpoint or the negative connotations around words like structure, discipline, budget, all that, and looking at it as freedom.
Yeah, because even now that I'm renovating the condo that I bought, I already know because I'm like every year I have a certain amount of money that I like to give to my financial advisor to put up for my seeds that I want to put up. You know, that's about $500,000 or so. That I'm like, okay, this is my goal. We know we got to hit it. And so I like to hit as early as possible. I used to be like, if I hit it, you know, by, I don't know, like August, let me keep going. And it took Anjali, my financial advisor, to be like, girl, you good. Like that, like I know your goal of what it is. And that $500,000 that you put up, you going to reach that goal. You giving me extra just means less life for you now. You know?
Right. And why do that?
So now she was like, go ahead. So now I've already hit my goal with her. And so now when I am looking at, like, I was looking at marble for the master bath, I was like, go ahead and give me that marble.
Listen.
For real, I hit my goal.
Marble me.
Right? I was like, but I love that because I feel free that I can, I know how much, like, it's my slush account. I'm like, Tiffany, you have the freedom to get fancier things in your place that maybe if I had not seen my plan and known, like, you've already filled all the other buckets. You good, my mom. You don't have to actually hold back. Like, this extra money, like, if you want to spend the extra, you maybe, I have a budget for the renovation, but if I want to spend an extra $30,000, it doesn't take away from my retirement account. It doesn't take away from my other goals. It doesn't take away from bills. It doesn't take away from anything. This is money that is in excess. And so I can use it to enhance my current life. And that's what I want for people, that we are not here to merely work, pay bills, and count pennies. You know, that's what people, I say, make whole. That, like, holistically, how do you want your life to go? You are here to use money, to your point, about as a tool for a better life. And that's what I want for people.
Yes.
I love that, because that's actually sums up my final question to you. It was biggest takeaway.
I was like, dang, that was the perfect takeaway.
The perfect takeaway. Yeah, I was going to ask, what was your biggest takeaway, or what do you hope people will have as the biggest takeaway from Made Whole? Yeah. And I think that was it.
Being made whole doesn't mean that you sacrifice your whole life so the people after you can live. No, being made whole means that you learn to sacrifice in the right time so you can live the best life you living right now.
Yeah.
That's what people don't understand about financial literacy, because that's ultimately what it is. It ain't about just making all the money, putting it in the side for your kids or your nephews. No.
Yep.
It's putting the money to where I can use it for my life.
Right.
Exactly.
Because even to go back to speak on the property my parents just sold, my father's mindset was, well, I'm going to have this property for my three children, so when I pass away, they can then inherit this house.
Yeah.
And DeVal and I were talking to him, and we were like, Dad, but if you were to sell it now in a market that was a seller's market, and we can now then use that money to then make our own investments, like, sell it, then divide it, and then we can now have the leverage to do those investments.
We told him, we said, Dad, you have one property that's paid off. That one property can now be six properties. Mm. Once you sell that property, each of your children can then buy two properties with that same money and then do the same thing for their kids. And that's when he was like,
and that's the legacy.
He was like, oh, I said, yeah, because your kids are still working. So they don't need the money from your property right now. All they can use it for as an investment for something else. Mm-hmm. That's what you call planting that seed and watering it.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, let them water their own seeds now so that they can continue to grow. And he
was
like, oh, I never
apple
thought
picking
about
it. What?
I love that.
He was apple picking time. Season.
Yeah.
It's just in time. Yeah. We're just in season. Tiffany, thank you so much for joining us again. It is always, always, always a pleasure to have you here. The fact that you have another book, which you're already going to say is going to be a New York Times bestseller.
You can already put that one on there.
It's giving a repeat.
And when exactly does it drop?
So it should already be out by now, November 21st. That's because I know this is airing around that time. So November.
Yes.
Yes.
And so it's available at madewholeworkbook.com. That's madewholeworkbook.com.
There you go.
Baby, I think that's the perfect time with holiday seasons coming in. It's giving the perfect stocking stuffer, the perfect gift.
Go get that book.
Especially when people like to go into the hole for the holidays. So
go get that book. And I'm
going to be made whole. Don't go into the hole for the holidays.
I'm going to be honest. Your first book is something that you and I have adopted a lot of. When people ask us, tell me, how did the Ellises get out of the apartment to move here? I'm not going to lie to you. So many of the themes and the ideas and the way I just viewed money changed from 2018. And a lot of it had a lot to do with the fact that we spoke. Our first conversation was 2018. Then when the book came out, I was like, I mean, this is stuff that we talked about.
Right. And we took it back to our financial advisor, like, okay, so Tiffany said, after a while he was like, wait, who
is Tiffany? But then he started following you. And he was just like, she got some dope ideas. And the thing is, it wasn't for just, oh, you're in entertainment, you're an athlete. No, it was for everybody. So I can guarantee you, if you have the first book and now you get the second book, you will not be disappointed, and start planning to live the life you want right
now.
Not 40 years later. Live it right now.
That's it. Freedom, baby. Structure, discipline, made whole. Thank you so much,
Tiff.
Let everyone know where they can find you too.
I am the Budgetista.
In case they're new to the show.
On all the things. The Budgetista on Instagram. I don't know what's on Facebook like that anymore, but I'm there too. YouTube.
Yes.
And the Budgetista.com. But yeah, so I'm there everywhere.
Awesome. All right, sis. We love you so, so much. Thanks for being with us again. All right. And for sure. And all the best with this book, baby.
Holla at us.
Peace out.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so.
And get this. Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
There's power in every purchase because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
All right, man, it's always fun with Tiffany, man, the budget niece. I love
know.
Her, man.
She's great. She's always insightful. She literally really has, like, helped us so much when it comes to just building over the years. I mean, it's amazing when we really look back at how far we've come, man.
Yeah.
From the apartment days and trying to find ways out of there.
I mean, it was all a consistent process of small progress over the years that, when you look back in it now, and it was just like, man, it was 13 years we spent in that apartment.
Mm-hmm.
But every year when you looked at it, you wouldn't have thought the progress was that much. But now looking back on the 13-year progress,
baby,
come a long way.
That is a shout out to you because I could not see the bigger picture. And again, just growing up in my household and seeing my parents' relationships with money, like they would just encourage working because my parents weren't lazy.
Hard workers,
but also saving. And that was it. It's just having the money there so you could see it. But you had a little bit more business acumen and you were willing to take more risks. And here we are. So amazing, amazing time. All right, let's jump into this listener letter. We're going to do one today because this one seems kind of long. So we can unpack a couple things here. I'll go ahead and read.
Go ahead, baby. Do
That's cool. Yeah. All right. Hey, Karina DeVal. I hope this email finds you as well as your and your families as well. I am a huge fan of both of y'all all the way from London Town in the UK. That is dope. I got to get there. We got to get there, baby. We haven't been to London yet. But thank you for being a fan of ours all the way across the sea. My husband and I have been married for 6 years together. Well, we've been married for 6 years together for 16. I'm 32. My husband is 33. I'm an Aries and he's a Sagittarius. Wow. Oh, we're flipped. Wow, all right, flipped. And our relationship has been a very similar dynamic to that of y'all's. We have three children, one boy and two girls, ages 11, 7, and 3.
Every 4 years, they get it in, all right?
I love that. kind of similar to us, well, with the exception of the back-to-backs.
Yeah, we in that back-to-back.
For sure. Anyway, y'all, let me get to the point. Over the years, my husband and I have suffered financially, and to be frankly honest, it was mostly due to my immaturity at the time, like Kadeen. like me. like Kadeen, I wanted the wedding over everything. I understand, sis. In my defense, we had been engaged for 10 years and your girl was tired with a lot of A's. We had close to zero family support. It honestly feels like finances never, ever seem to get better, even though my husband is very frugal with money and saves everything for a rainy day. I, on the other hand, appreciate that life is very short and I don't want to just be existing and not have lived. I've worked three, sometimes four jobs at a time in order to help. But my husband always says it's more of a detriment than a help because something is always falling by the wayside. My husband works extremely, in capital letters, hard to provide for our family and says that he does not feel respected because had I listened and followed his path, we would not be struggling right now. Currently, my husband is totally unmotivated and defeated. I know my choices in the past haven't helped, but I really don't know what to do to get out of debt and help my man feel motivated again. It really depresses me to see him down and out because outside of him being my husband, I care about him and his dreams as a human being, and he deserves happiness. What can I do, y'all? I'm out of hope and out of answers. Signed, a desperate wife trying to get that old thing back. Oh, that was really, really sweet.
First thing I want to do is acknowledge her taking accountability.
Yes.
Like just taking accountability and saying, you know what? I was immature.
Yes.
I'm the reason why we're here. We don't hear that often from a lot of people, men and women. Most people don't like taking accountability.
They want to place blame. Yeah.
I just want to point this out.
Right. And she gave her husband his flowers and said that, you know, he's tried. He's tried a lot.
I want to take this time to point this out. We had a young lady at one of the live shows point out that her boyfriend needs to shit or get off the pot. Mm-hmm. In 3 years and a whole bunch of other stuff. I asked her, remember what type of ring she wanted? She said she wanted a 3-carat ring. She wanted all this other stuff, right? I want to point out that this is why men struggle sometimes with the right time to getting married. Mm. You love a woman. You want to give that woman everything in life she desires because you love her. Mm-hmm. And that woman deserves everything in life she desires. But there are times when, as a man, you just aren't in a good financial place to provide that. And I know that 10-year engagement might have been long and tired, but now you married and you got everything you wanted. And now this marriage is long and tired.
Yeah.
And sometimes we as people need to realize, and this is going to go in line with what Tiffany was talking about, sacrificing now so we can live the way we want to live later on is paramount. But also, not sacrificing your happiness in the present day. Mm-hmm. And this message is to a lot of young men or older men who are looking to get married.
Oh, for sure.
This marriage is, this message is for you. I'm going to speak from a man's perspective, right?
Okay.
It isn't fair for you to tell your woman that you want to marry or significant other. You got to wait till it's my time financially. We, as a community, have to collectively find a way to do both. Mm-hmm. Give the person you love what they desire because you want to provide that, but also plan a life for the future. And there are ways. And that's what we talked about with Tiffany today. Mm-hmm. Now, what we all have to realize is that no one is entitled to time, like to your time. So you can't say, I want it done on my time. It's going to take some time. But we also can't tell young ladies, Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to have to wait on my time. We have to work together. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if they would have been more communicative about what they wanted from each other, they could have found a way to both get the wedding and get the life they want and mm-hmm. not sacrifice. Because now, here's the sad part, that resentment that he's not motivated and he keeps saying to her, you know, if you would have just listened to me, yeah. that's resentment.
That's resentment.
That and that's not fair to her.
Yeah.
That's not fair to her. And it's also not fair to him.
Because she's 32 know? And they've been together 16. So they've been together since she was 16 and 17 years
yeah,
old.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
Hell
and to
yeah.
be together, to work through those years, like DeVal and I know exactly what it is.
Facts.
18 and 19 years old trying to figure things out and thinking that you had things figured out.
Yes.
And also being in that age group where you want the wedding and you feel like at that point you're invincible. Money's always going to yeah. be there. We can always make more money. We're young. We're able-bodied. We can do it. But mm-hmm. not really realizing how much of a setback
that can
it
be.
Is or can be.
And we have to, as a community of people, start realizing when we're making demands on people, what that demand can do to that person.
Yeah.
Whether it's a young man asking a young woman to wait mm-hmm. until I'm ready, or mm-hmm. if it's a young woman telling a young man, you got to do this on my time or and I'm leaving. We have to stop that conversation. The conversation now has to be, how can we collectively build to get what we want now and get what we want later? And I don't want to leave out our LGBTQ people by saying man or woman. It's partner.
Partner, yeah.
Because even in those partners, because we have a large contingent of LGBTQIA plus people who follow us, mm-hmm. right? And there's always one that's like Kadeen and one that's like
yeah.
me. And it doesn't matter if it's
right.
two men or if it's two women.
Right.
There's always one that's more fiscally responsible than the other.
I think that's any relationship for yeah. sure. Yes, for
and we
sure.
just have to do a better job of collectively having these discussions during mm-hmm. the courting process.
Mm-hmm.
Not after.
Right.
Because now they married and got kids and they tired of each other.
Right.
But if they'd have had this conversation
and just
earlier,
tired of working and stuff too.
Bruh.
But trust me, DeVal and I had those moments where we
yes.
were just tired of each other. We told yes. y'all our first 5 years of marriage, a hot mess.
Tired.
Because we had a baby, we had the wedding. I thought we were going to have the wedding in all the houses, but instead we had the properties that were
yeah.
in other states that we were trying to keep afloat. I was working long hours in retail. DeVal was working nonstop at the
yeah.
gym. There were just, I think every couple, especially being together for that long period of time
yeah.
and as teenagers growing
yeah.
together, you just make dumb ass mistakes and dumb ass decisions.
Yes.
And they're all lessons. They're all learning.
Yes.
And it's just how you come out on top after that. But I love, sis, that you are acknowledging, you
yes.
know, your issue in this. I love
yes.
that you are so devoted and committed to your husband and
yes.
his happiness, like you said, as a human being. Like reading the end of that almost made me kind of emotional because
yeah.
I'm like, that's how I felt in those moments with DeVal, where I saw he was busting his ass day in and day out. And then he's just like, Kadeen, you're still not doing the right things to get us in a financially, you know, comfortable space.
Yeah.
And at some point something had to give. And it really just required us to like break things down again. I think one of our early YouTube videos we did was a budget episode.
Yeah,
remember?
And it got over 200,000 views.
Yes.
At the time we only had about 6,000.
It was like
subscribers.
Yeah. But so many people saw it because at some point it has to click and it's just like, okay, let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to like what we're both willing to do, how much money is coming in, looking at it from this perspective where Tiffany talked about in the book, you
yeah.
know, made whole. The first thing was the budget, not looking
yeah.
at it as ways to restrict each other further, but ways to be able to make little sacrifices so you can do what you want to do. So continue to have the conversation with your husband. I hope that you've also expressed this to him, your investment in him and his happiness and you guys' financial future.
Well, she asked, how can she get that old thing back? The first thing I would do is do what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Express and say to him that I acknowledge that there were some mistakes I made.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him how he thinks it can be changed for them moving forward and then
mm-hmm.
work collectively,
mm-hmm.
both of you.
Because mm-hmm.
it's not just work on one side.
No, for sure.
You can't do all the work yourself now and take all the blame. No, because here's the truth, right? And I'm going to say this and it may ruffle some feathers. He's still to blame too, even though it was your decisions, because he could have at any point said, I can't do
like
this.
Like we're not doing
and
that.
And didn't.
Yeah.
And that's why, and I feel like that's part of the reason why Kadeen and I were able to make a turn.
Mm-hmm.
Because I stopped blaming her for our financial decisions and started saying, okay, you know what? I did concede to do it because I wanted to see her happy and smiling. And my ego was part of the reason too why I wanted
yes.
to give her these things. So
yes.
once I stopped blaming her
mm-hmm.
and stopped self-loathing,
mm-hmm.
she and I got on a plan together.
Right. We both could have done things differently.
Yes.
Yes, for
so
sure.
So continue to speak to him. Ask him how he feels. Ask him what he needs. When he tells you, listen, but also express to him that you're willing to be a participant to make you guys move forward.
For
and
sure.
Y'all just work together and know it's not going to happen next week.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Give yourselves a 5-year plan mm-hmm. and say, let's move ourselves out of this in 5 years.
Absolutely. And go ahead and get made whole, because I know DeVal and I took a lot of really good tips from Tiff Absolutely. Early on.
Absolutely.
And that might be a good way to just kind of start and bond over it and, you know, talk about the positive things that yes. you guys can do with your money and your financial situation. So.
And not to get good with money was... That's a good find, like a good foundation to start with. Get yeah. good with money and then get made whole.
Right.
It, her principles really do
they
help.
Really
like
do work.
Kadeen and I have grown our family and our finances following some of the same principles.
Yep. Right. Absolutely. All yeah. right, y'all. If you want to be featured as a listener letter, be sure to email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com. And I know I tease y'all about y'all long dissertations now, but we love it because it gives us
yeah,
more
gives
context.
Absolutely.
For sure. Because we usually still have questions even after that. But yeah. keep writing in. We love to hear from you guys.
Yes, that's deadassadvice@gmail.com.
All right. Moment of truth time. I think my takeaway from this whole thing in talking to Tiffany and you and just thinking about my entire mindset when it comes to just finances and budgeting and all that is that the discipline involved in it, what seems like a boundary, is not necessarily that. It's just me putting myself in a position to do the things that I really want to do.
Yeah.
And it forces me to live in a space where I'm really assessing the things that I really need versus the things that I want to do or need to do and what's required from me to get that. So discipline, like we said, structure, those are all words that typically have a negative connotation and you feel restrained and limited, but really it's a way for you to gain freedom over your life and your time, because ultimately that's the goal for me, at least, is to have autonomy over my time to be able to do the things I want to do because I have the financial freedom to do that.
Facts. I believe that. Tiffany opened up something to me today, my mind thinking about it.
Okay.
Right? You know how we went on a diet, but while we were on the quote unquote diet, we had cheat meals. So it really wasn't a crash diet.
Right.
It was more like a lifestyle change.
Right. Moderation situation.
So that we could enjoy our life while losing the weight to get to the goal we want to get to in the future. Why can't we do the same thing with finances?
I like that.
You see what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be a crash diet of finances. Let me save $50,000 in a year.
Yes.
No. You can still have your cheat meals.
Mm-hmm.
You can still enjoy your time, but know that there's a plan down the line. Because if I'm being honest with you guys, that's what Kadeen and I did. Even though we were broke and we weren't doing all the things we wanted to do, we still enjoyed our life while we were building what we've built so far.
Yes.
And we're still enjoying our life while we're continuing to build to where we want to go. Because the way you see us now is not the way we want to spend the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to accrue more and gain access to more so we can give more to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean we're going to sacrifice all of our happiness now.
That is a whole fact.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that analogy. That's perfect. It puts it in a really good perspective too. Because man, listen, sometimes on them diet days, baby, I was ready to crash. But you know, having the little cheat meals here and there definitely helps to kind of lessen the blow. All right, y'all. Be sure to sign up for Patreon and subscribe so you can get more exclusive Deadass podcast content, more Ellis family content as well. And you can find us on social media at Deadass the Podcast. You can find me on my personal page, Kadeen I Am.
And I am DeVal. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, subscribe, and get your copy of We Over Me, the counterintuitive approach to getting everything you want out of your relationship.
Perfect time with the holidays coming up, y'all. It's giving stocking stuffers. Go ahead and get your book now. All right, y'all, run it up.
Deadass.
Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com.
You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.